This show is sponsored by MyOliveLeaf.biz, MyOliveLeaf.biz.
Ginger Surprise. Please contact Hoshea or visit gingersurprise.com for details.
And the Hurricane Report, merchandise, and more.
What does Juneteenth mean to me? It's a reminder of the courage, the ability, and the resilience of Black people to find joy in the midst of a very difficult situation and be able to tap into their humanity and celebrate their newfound freedom. But it is also a reminder that justice delayed is also justice denied. And so while Emancipation Proclamation took an effect January 1st, there were months later before Blacks found out about it on the plantation in Texas. However, they created a space to celebrate in which we now commemorate each year. And so we, those of us that believe in freedom, know that we have to stand now and that justice delayed is justice denied. That's why those who believe in freedom shall not rest until it comes. Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom, oh, freedom over me, and before I be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave, and go home to my Lord, and be free. Happy Juneteenth.
What can you tell us about this new legislation that they're introducing?
That's right, Eamon. Democrats are going to offer their policy prescription of what people have been asking for, demanding in the streets across this country for the past 10, 11, 12 days. This legislation is led by the Congressional Black Caucus in the House of Representatives and Senators Booker and Harris over in the Senate. And what it does is it tries to hold police departments accountable and also change their practices. What it does is it provides a police bad actor database, a national database. It also has collects data. It mandates that they collect data for use of force. It also bans chokeholds and artery holds, and it also bans no-knock warrants. These are some things that have been really plaguing police departments. It also bans racial profiling as well. There's another thing that's really important in this legislation, Eamon, and what that is it does not provide any new money for police departments to invoke these reforms. This is along the lines of the defund the police movement that has been bubbling up from the ground. Now, it doesn't shrink police departments' budgets, but it does not provide new money. So that is significant. Democrats are going to unveil this legislation, as you mentioned, in the next 15 or 20 minutes. But first, they're going to hold another moment of silence, so 8 minutes and 46 seconds, honoring George Floyd before they make a procession into the press conference room. Now, it's going to be extremely popular among Democrats, but the question is, Eamon, is it going to get any support among Republicans, especially when this legislation makes it over to the Senate?
All right, guys, that's it. All right? So I'm getting ready to open up a few mics. If you'd like to participate in the conversation, please press the number one at this time, and I will grab up to five people at a time so that we're not talking over each other. But, of course, we're going to extend the biggest courtesy to Joshua Brown, 323-646-323-646. Happy Juneteenth, Joshua Brown. How are you today?
I'm fine, Ms. Valerie. And, by the way, don't call it Happy Juneteenth for me because it's a personal embarrassment and an embarrassment to the Black race. And what I just heard was some disgustingly incompetent.
Wait. Don't just mull over that.
I'll come back to that. Hold on. Let me just say this. That was some embarrassingly incompetent propaganda. And let me just say this. Trump already introduced his intention to do just what they're talking about. But he's doing it because, as chief executive, he has the authority to agree to the dispensation of funding, and he's threatening to cut it off, such as has already been allocated, if those things are not done. Everything that you heard is actually taken from what he's already released. So the news announcer didn't mention that it was a duplicate of some of the essential points of Trump's own programming. Next thing is I have to interject again. We have gotten the news media turning what's going on, the Black Lives Matter movement, the Black Lives Matter protest. And a lot of money is going to Black Lives Matter, but if you spend the time before you support these people, go to their website, blacklivesmatter.com, and read what we believe. And you will find they are against families. They are against straight black men. They aren't even really for gay black men. They're for transsexuals, pedophiles, for the destruction of the family, and many, many dysfunctional things that they put in there. The last, next to the last paragraph is taken straight from NAMBLA, North American Man Boy Love Association, that's been broken up by the FBI. And they take word for word part of that organization's mantra and put in there about we believe in leadership and the ability to make choices irrespective of age, etc., which is hidden code for children should be allowed to consent to sex, so we can take this out as part of Section 7 for state action of the 1972 Gay Rights Manifesto, and that is that age should no longer be a factor in establishing whether or not someone consented to sex. That's pedophilia, straight up and down. So it's a sick thing. They've got millions of dollars given to them as a supposed conduit into the black community. The four admitted lesbians who were detailed in terms of their history on their site have upped their salaries to an astronomical amount, and they have pimped, co-opted a term which was Black Lives Matter into something that by their own manifesto is simply Black Lesbians Matter. Now, up until a few months ago, their site stipulated the prologue, and then it stipulated the manifesto. Now they took the manifesto and prologue wording out. So you get a long thing about after Trayvon Martin, et cetera, after Ferguson, after concern with so on and so forth, and most people stop there and don't go on to read what they believe. And if you do, this is insupportable. It's bait and switch, and black people do not need to be supporting anything that is attempting to destroy specifically black manhood, the nuclear family, and to deal with children not needing to be raised in a healthy family, but that women on welfare are just as capable of raising them with group support, etc. We don't need that kind of thing. Now, back to why I don't like Juneteenth. April 1863, after Antietam, Abraham Lincoln released the Emancipation Proclamation decreeing that all slaves in states in rebellion were free. January 1865, the 13th Amendment was ratified, was passed and sent to the states for ratification to end slavery as an institution in the United States. April 1865, Lee signed articles of surrender, unconditional surrender, to General Grant at Appomattox Courthouse. And the following month, General Johnson surrendered to, well, not the following month, but a couple of weeks later, General Johnson surrendered to General Sherman. The Civil War was over. And then they want to put it out now is June 19, 1865, but it was actually June 19, 1866. The colored folk down in Texas still thought they were slaves. 3 full years and a quarter after the Emancipation Proclamation, and a year and a half after the 13th Amendment, and a year and a quarter after the Civil War had been over. And the interesting thing about it is some colored troops, black troops in the Union Army, went down there on a frigate to check on things. They were assigned there, and the colored would not believe that the black soldiers were telling them the truth, that they were free, and they didn't accept it until some white officers confirmed it. That is embarrassing that these folk acquiesced in being slaves a year and a half after they didn't have to be anymore. So I refuse to celebrate it. And I will not buy this historical revision of trying to ramp the date up to June 19, 1865, when it was June 19, 1866, and the Civil War was over in April 1865. And the 13th Amendment had been passed out to the states for ratification in January 1865. So I don't buy that as a valid black holiday. It's a valid black embarrassment. So I refuse to celebrate it. Like I won't celebrate Kwanzaa either, because Maulana Ron Karinga started at 1966 in Leimert Park on Crenshaw Boulevard in Los Angeles for the stipulated purpose of encouraging black folk to assemble and talking so he could inform on our community to the FBI and to the Special Investigative Services Unit, known as SIS, the Los Angeles Police Department. See, there are some things out there that are treacherous, and I will not support this organization, Black Lives Matter, because it is pimping what so many people have been out there trying to support into gain for a certain select group of deviants who have some severe problems. Now, that's the reality of it. So, yeah, now we're back into it. I guess we can launch into that situation. Do you have any more questions?
Yes, sir. At this time, what I'd like to do is open up about, I don't know, 3 or 4 mics, Judge, so they could join the conversation.
Knowledge is a dangerous thing. A little knowledge is a very dangerous thing. See, so we have too much a little knowledge scampering around like little rodent rats and mice in our community to get us believing in stuff that is anti-black people because it's presented to us in a way. Just like that news piece that we got, Kamala Harris, the fake Negro, and Cory Booker, the house Negro, coming up with stuff like that, give me a break. And it wasn't even new. And see, it's got, they're talking about get past the Senate that the difficulty is anticipated. Hell, the Republican president has already indicated he's going to sign an executive order putting that in effect, which gives him the immediate power to cut money and funds off from police departments that don't do everything that these fools are trying to Johnny Cake piggyback off of right now. And they've had all of this time to be responsible for most of these damn problems and have done nothing about it. And that charlatan, Barry Sotoro, a.k.a. Barack Obambi, the Obambatang, I like to call him, was in there for 8 years in office, and he didn't do anything except take what George W. Weak Bush did and engrave it in damn stone. It's a shame we get bamboozled like this. Black Pride Month is for June. Black Pride Month is for February, the shortest month in the year. And then they want to mix it up with Juneteenth, which was not a holiday. And I'm offended doubly because my beautiful granddaughter's birthday is June 19th, and I don't want her associated with that crap from these slaves who could not get their sorry butts off a plantation. See, that fits right in with it. Black folk can't get off the plantation. They likes it here. And they likes their demogated masses to tell them what the hell to do.
Radio. DJ.
One nation, one station.
Hey, guys. Right now you're listening to the voice of Valerie Denise Jones. I hope and pray that you're having a great day. Please meet me on Instagram. Instagram at Valerie Denise Jones, and also Miss MS Valerie Denise Jones. Go ahead and hit the like button. Hit the like button and subscribe if you have not already. And also sign up for the alerts. And please make sure if you signed up before that they did not deactivate it. So go on and check that and hit the alert button again. Got a few things. Wait.
Receiving incoming transmission.
Wait a minute. While I'm on the subject, I want everybody to remember
support this platform. Hit that Cash App, $Valerie Denise. Cash App, $Valerie Denise. Cash App, $Valerie Denise.
That's right, guys. What they said. Every dollar, every single dollar that you bless us with is recycled back into this platform. So if you enjoy our content, please make sure that you support us because we definitely appreciate it and we definitely need it. So there are a lot of ways to do that. You can Cash App. You can join our Patreon. Patreon at Valerie Denise Jones, and also PayPal. And all the links are down below. So please make sure to show your love, tithes, and support. Appreciate you so much. After this broadcast, I will meet you guys down in the comment section. But until then, right now, what we are going to do is I'm going to patch you into a previously recorded broadcast featuring our heavy hitters, of course, Dr. Inky, Judge Jerome, Bishop Wes, and also Brother Bernard. There were a slew of other people, guys. I can't remember all the names, but anyway, here we go.
Let's start with Dake. It's the simplest. It was a 5-4 decision. This Roberts joined with the left-wing side of the court to make it a 5-4 decision. The ruling did not say that Trump could not do what he was trying to do. It said he did not follow the procedural rules that had been established, so they sent it back with a notation that it's overturned his actions because he didn't follow correct procedures, which if he did, they indicated he might be able to do it. So it's a matter of don't get too happy if you're in the DACA, because it might not be over yet. That's kind of like what happened with Byron Allen. Hell, he went. No, he didn't. They just sent it back for further findings. And Comcast copped out because they made a deal with CBS that was having Byron Allen front for them because they had a contract with Fox that said unless there was a minority that was going in, they had to go on cable and satellite through Fox. CBS couldn't do it directly. So Allen, I know personally, had a little thing against him, with him, was trying to set me up for CBS, and I had people working spies, so to speak, that confirmed it when it was happening, and he's an enemy of the people. He is a flunky for CBS. He doesn't give a damn about black people, but that's a side issue. But away from that, DACA is not safe yet, though personally, why the hell somebody supposed to have all these damn dreams who snuck across the border, or our parents did, and my parents, grandparents, great-grandparents had to put up with this crap for hundreds of years. And my aspirations ain't been met. And I will tell you, though you can get ahead, racism is an adversity. And I did all right, but every damn day I was in a studio for 15 years, I had to put up with racism and some absolutely worst garbage from this LGBTQ crowd. Not all of them, but some of them. And by the way, on that one last comment, as somebody who was an employee of mine who is gay, said all gay people are not into LGBTQ. LGBTQ is a political organization, just like the Democratic Party and the Republicans, and all black folk are not Democrats, and a lot of them don't like what the Democrats are doing now. Same thing with some of the gay crowd. So I'll say that in all honesty. Let's see. Where else were we?
Yeah. Hey, this is Bishop Scott, Valerie, and Judge, and Bernard, and the rest.
Hey, Bishop. Guests.
Hello, Bishop. By the way, you're one of those good preachers. Go ahead.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And you're one of the best judges I've ever met. And I mean that even before I met you on this show. I've been following you all virtually for many, many years. And I've always admired the way you conducted yourself as a jurist and that were on your show. But what I want to ask this. I've been hearing, and I've been trying to look again to find evidence for it, because I came across it, and I wanted to propose this idea. How has, and I will really a question, how has the DACA decision and the LGBTQ decisions that have recently been made by the Supreme Court, how does that directly impact in a negative way the black community? I think that, let me just say this as a statement, and then I want you to respond. You know, we're talking about this kumbaya moment, House of Representative members putting their little clear across, emblems on and all that, kneeling down for George Floyd, and all of that is symbolism. But when it comes to substance, we are always pushed to the back burner. When it comes to substance, we are always ignored. We are always not just pushed to the back burner, but we put other people in the front and push us in the back. So when it comes to
substance,
the last kid on the block. So I just want to ask, what is your opinion on how these decisions have really been a slap in the face to black America?
Black America. The interesting thing is, as I read this opinion about extending this protection to transvestites, is it is a stronger position of support for them who arguably aren't even intended to be beneficiaries of the law than has been shown to black people who have been intended primary beneficiaries of the law. In other words, what the one new ones are getting is better than what the intended recipients are getting when you look at the last 35 years.
Let me say something about this, Bishop. I got to bring this to you. Now, if you don't think this Black Lives Matter thing and all this stuff contributed to the decision and the protesting, I got one big thing to say here about this. The DACA thing was really an executive order passed by President Barack Obama in 2011, which that was supposed to have congressional approval. They actually broke kind of like ranks of the law doing that from what I was reading, because that was supposed to be legislative. He was not just supposed to do that on the executive order. So Trump's executive order should have been able to end it. However, like the judge said, he cannot be the arbitrator. Now, the thing about it is not the fact of the DACA recipients, like more power to them, but here's the thing. You got black folks on my Facebook page saying, yes, thank you, they passed DACA. Well, do you realize, you idiots, that DACA in the top 10 black cities in the United States has brought the black youth unemployment rate down at a crumbling rate? You go to New York, L.A., Chicago, Detroit, Philadelphia, and everywhere DACA recipients have been allowed to get jobs, especially in construction and other areas, the black youth unemployment rate is horrible in those areas. Also, they're the most crime-ridden because those brothers cannot find jobs they used to have by those people being there. And Barack Obama knew he was going to screw over black folks with that thing. The same thing with his LGBT thing. They're trying to basically say, by using the 1964 Civil Rights Law, which Trump even said in 2016, Barack Obama has shamed you of your civil rights by connecting you with immigrants and LGBT. They use the same law to use that. So they need to change the word minority off those bills and just put black. One thing I will say about Trump, and I give him credit for this, when he addresses black people, he says black or African American. You got this despicable Amy Klobuchar says, I'm dropping out, and it would be nothing better than to do to elect a woman of color. Or what she means, I want to elect Susan Rice or Kamala Harris as your vice president. They're going to give you a symbol of a black person with this vice president, but Joe Biden. Now, also one thing. Now, if Kamala Harris, which is, she's not black, she's a Hindu Brahmin, but if Kamala Harris, you ever look at her crowd of people that's in L.A. or Oakland when she ran, the majority of them folks out there campaigning for her or yelling in the crowd were white folks. So that should be problematic to you right there. Hmm. Now, one other thing. Tomorrow, Donald Trump is going to have a rally at 7 o'clock. And he said himself that if anybody comes causing trouble, you won't be treated the same way as in Seattle and stuff. But he also said, up in Kamala Harris and Russell Westbrook are going to have a rally across the street. Now I'm looking at this. why the fuck is she bringing Russell Westbrook, a basketball player, to talk about this stuff? Like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, why do you need him for? I never heard Russell Westbrook talk about politics a day in my life. Now, I guess that's another token treat that we're going to get. Oh, we're going to see a basketball player and entertainer again? Oh, yes. Yes, that's what we want. That's what we want. Yeah, more tokenism. So, I'm not buying it. It's just more.
Well, see, listen,
I'm going to tell you,
here's how they playing that off. See, Westbrook, a lot of these celebrities, they mean well. See, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to bring Brother Gilly on. Brother Gilly, you still on with us? Okay, he might.
I think his call dropped. Let me check the board.
I'm here.
Okay. Dr. Inky was talking about Brother Gilly, Brother Bernard. So his call dropped. He was on earlier.
He's from the entertainment business. He's been in the entertainment business a long time. He was one of the guys that brung out Big Pun and the whole. So he was in the entertainment business for a long time. But most of these folks that's entertainers, they're not aware of what social issues is really going on until it hits the news. And then at that point, they're liable to be puppeted like Kamala Harris is going to do. She's going to bring Russell Westbrook out because Russell Westbrook is going to galvanize black folks. And then she's going to jump out in front of Russell Westbrook and try to ride that wave. People don't really know what's going on. That's why these conversations are so important, because people have no idea what's going on. And they see the celebrity pop up. That gets people to start cheering. And then she comes in with her program. And we know that she didn't even... You know, she worked her way into the business. You know, I mean, if we could do a whole program on her, you know what I mean? So this whole thing, I mean, it really got to come down to, what Judge been saying the past month, what Brother Gilly was saying earlier. Like, we really got to get to the point where we start being self-sufficient and really speak up for ourselves, because we're not doing it. And we are allowing other people to get in front of us. I mean, it's just what it is. We're letting people get in front of us, alongside of us, attaching themselves to us. And, we got to draw the line somewhere, I think.
Let me interject. That's very good. I agree with you. Let me interject something here. One thing, this DACA thing does not involve congressional legislation. It is an executive order matter out of Barack Obama to make people who are illegally in the country have more advantages than the black people who are born in this country. To parents who were born in this country, the grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents born in this country. What happens is there is legislation that establishes how a president is supposed to rescind a previous executive order. That's what they said Trump did not comply with. They said nothing about the merits of DACA or DACA. They simply said that Trump has to go through these procedural steps to rescind it, which they did not say he could not. So that might be the end of it. I always thought the act by Obama was grandstanding and was absolutely ridiculous, and had absolutely no concern for all of the black people that got his sleazy behind in office. He is a fake and a charlatan, and I saw this enough 50 years ago where people who did nothing came in, tried to pimp the revolution, where they went out to work for white people and they claimed they were the BSU president and had never attended a BSU meeting, where they went out and later on in life claimed to have been active BSU members, and one in particular, he never would do anything. He was one of these brothers, I understand all that you have done to help me get where I am now and all of the sacrifices you have made. However, I cannot afford to jeopardize my career, so you'll have to go on without me, but I'll be there with you in spirit. Drag that fool, and this fool had on some gray pants, and he pissed all over himself. You could see the stains running down his left leg and a pool of piss by his left shoe. He was trembling and shaking so bad when the two brothers in revulsion let go of his arms, he collapsed into his own puddle of pee. Now, I mean, see, that's the kind of thing I saw with Barack Obama, a.k.a. Barry Sotoro, and I actually got on to him, and I'll say this and shut up about it. I was concerned because when I was in law school 50-some years ago, we studied international law and international criminals, and one of the people they were interested in was an individual known as Lolo Sotoro, who on a couple of occasions had been accused of mass murder and crimes against humanity. During one spree, he's supposed to have been responsible for the deaths of more than a half million Indonesians. You know, his folk under his control just took them out in the night and shot them. I was surprised to learn that this was the adopted daddy of Barry Sotoro, who I had not been associating, well, of Barack Obama, who I had not been associating with Barry Sotoro, the adopted son of this mass murderer, and also oil baron and tycoon. And by the way, most people don't know this, since I'm on this little roll, Barack Obama, George Herbert Walker Bush, and George Walker Bush are actually cousins. And they have a relative in common that establishes this blood relationship. And that person is someone who has an interesting background. He is the ancestor for no less than 7 American presidents and 1 vice president, because what happens? Dick Cheney is also one of his descendants. The person's name is Samuel Hinckley, who from Cape Cod died in 1662. Common ancestor of 7 U.S. presidents and 1 vice president. And then I'd already known from researching this back in law school 50 years ago that Lolo Sotoro was hanging around with George Herbert Walker Bush with oil business conducted by George Herbert Walker Bush through Zapata Oil in a corporation chartered in Kuwait known as Zapata Offshore Oil. George Herbert Walker Bush became head of the CIA in 1974 under Gerry Ford, who took over from Tricky Dick Nixon. I got back into it again when I was studying comparative law in a course I took when I was the public defender for Memphis, not A, but the. And we studied these things and how at that point Lolo Sotoro, who was wanted by The Hague for war crimes and crimes against humanity, was purportedly conducting the assassination hits for the CIA under George Herbert Walker Bush. So that is the president's father. Or effective father. He adopted him before he was 2 years old. And Obama, for those who don't know, I keep repeating this, and it's provable, is the richest man ever to sit in the White House, not Donald Trump. Business Insider reported Obama's net income for 2018 at a bit over $570 million after taxes, expenses, and deductions. So he must have been bringing in an income of over $1 billion, and nobody makes that kind of money that they report, not even Warren Buffett, who also, guess what, is a cousin of Barack Obama. So I find that interesting. Now, where he gets this money from is a trust fund his filthy rich multibillionaire daddy, who at the time he died in 1982, was one of the 10 or 15 richest men on earth. And that trust fund had 3 equal beneficiaries, Barry Sotoro, a.k.a. Barack Obama, and 2 of his half-siblings. One of those half-siblings is dead. And that sibling's children get one. The other living sibling gets 1/3. And Barry Sotoro / Barack Obama gets 1/3. Now, interestingly enough, Lolo Sotoro dies in 1982 for the stated purposes of cumulative injuries received in multiple car accidents. get that.
Let me ask you this question about this. And I don't want to, well, let me just ask you straight up. Do you feel like it's possible that, because I know that the larger the platform that you get on, the more you have to try to be clever about communicating certain things. So I can't even imagine how Trump has to try to mask what he really would like to say. Do you think it's possible that Trump knows all of what you're just explaining? Because this, what you just explained is, yeah, what you just said about the step pops and the CIA hits and the. So, do you think that Trump also knew that information, and maybe that's why he kept trying to highlight Barack's sketchy birth certificate as a way to maybe direct attention towards Barack so that other people would dig into his past and maybe find out some of these things that you're just bringing to us?
I do think he does. Now, let me tell you, they keep saying he claims Barack Obama is not a citizen. That's not what he ever claimed. What he's talking about is there are two separate sections in the U.S. Constitution that deal with citizenship. One of them just establishes how citizenship is established. Barack Obama is clearly an American citizen because he popped out of the pussy of an American citizen woman, his mama. But when you get to the section that comes to qualifications for being U.S. president, that person has to be born in the United States, a territory, a protectorate, a military or naval base, an embassy, or a consulate. And if the person had been in the United States prior to the Constitution being ratified, that qualified too. And there haven't been any of those for 200 years, 230, 40, 50 years. So what you have is, was he born in Hawaii or was he born in Mumbai, Kenya? And there is a birth certificate, a copy of which I have seen. In fact, I can send it to anybody through Valerie who's interested, that he was born in a Kenyan hospital, and it lists his mother born in Kansas, United States, and his father in father's place of birth. It does not indicate that they were married, by the way. And there's also out there an adoption certificate from Indonesia where less than 2 years after Lolo Sotoro adopts Barry Sotoro and changes the name. I am suspicious because of this. There was a woman from Hawaii who worked on my show with me. She needed a certified copy of her birth certificate in order to get a passport. It's 2002, so I simply made a call, told her what she needed to sign, send, and they overnighted a certified copy of her birth certificate 2 days later. Now, I am rather bemused that the President of the United States, who claims he had administrative difficulties, takes a year and a half to get his damn birth certificate from Hawaii when this woman took 48 hours to get her. They overnighted it to Los Angeles. The other thing is that the news media is sleeping. Who was the runner-up to Trump in the Republican primary campaign? It was Cruz. Where is Cruz from? Texas, right? Guess what? Under the Constitution, Cruz is ineligible to be U.S. president because he was born where? In Canada. So he can't be U.S. president even though he is an American citizen. He can be senator, but not president. See, they make rules like Arnold Schwarzenegger was governor of California, and they wanted actually to have an amendment to the Constitution. So if you are a citizen, irrespective of how you got to be a citizen, you could be president. but he couldn't be president because he was born in Hitler's home country, Austria.
Come on.
Judge, right now, as we speak, Roland Martin went live, and he says that Senator Kamala Harris is being attacked because people are flooding her social media talking about how she's going to be vice president. How does she qualify for vice president after she locked up thousands of black men?
Well,
yeah, that's
I think it's appropriate because Joe Biden was
my ex-in-laws were from the Bay Area.
So
they hated her.
I think it's very appropriate.
She's a fake Negro. She is not black. She is a Hindu Brahmin. Nothing wrong with them except they are the most racist group on the planet, and they try to enforce untouchability in India, where they got a caste of people called untouchables that they condemn to chasing rats to get something to eat.
Well, doesn't it sound logical that the author of the crime bill in the Senate, Joe Biden, would have as his running mate a woman like Kamala Harris, who was the most
let's get to the basics.
In California history?
Let's get to the basics. Biden promised the American public that his running mate was either going to be gay or a lesbian. So let's take it at that. And he said his number one priority will be gay rights. What he said, multiple occasions, let's take him at his word. And he is a senator from the smallest state in the union, Hicksville, that does not even have an airport in the whole damn state. And I saw him in the 70s when I was sitting in my office as the public defender looking at my little portable TV when he was lauding Faubus, Stennis, and Wallace, except for in some other races, as his mentors and his role models, and he promised to commit the rest of his professional career to following in their racist footsteps.
Well, he was a eulogist.
He's done it. He kept his promise.
he was a eulogist.
And Obama did the eulogy for Robert Byrd, a prominent KKK member, if you forget that.
That's right.
Now, listen, I got something to say here. Now, let's not forget, the reason why Kamala Harris and Val Demings are getting so much vitriol because they are former cops and DAs. That's why. But don't forget, if they're trying to get Susan Rice to be VP, which a lot of black people don't know anything about Susan Rice, except that she was going to be ambassador to the UN and the Secretary of State. Susan Rice is just ambitious. She was setting up it for Libya, too. She was in that Libyan thing, too. As a matter of fact, Susan Rice she shouldn't even try to be on it, because she's going to be indicted on a subpoena for all of them trying to spy on Donald Trump campaign. That case is going on in the Senate right now. You don't have to like Trump, but when Trump has been telling you for years, Obama and all these people ran a coup on his campaign, you can look at the emails that Susan Rice, and Obama was the one who told the FBI to go flag Donald Trump's campaign. You don't have to like Donald Trump, but you can go look it up. You'll find information if you look hard enough.
Amen.
It still didn't work.
So they can take Kamala Harris. I want to see Kamala Harris survive somebody on the Trump campaign bringing up all of these articles in L.A. Times over the last 30 years about her slut activity. She'd be a poster child for hashtag Me Too if she hadn't been a success. I'm waiting on it.
So you wait on right?
Willie Brown's mistress when she was in her 20s, and him screwing her got her a 15-hour-a-week job 35 years ago, paying, guess what, $72,000 a year for 15 hours a week from the state of California. And when she went to 20 hours a week, it ramped up to over $120,000 a month for a part-time job courtesy of the state. Let's talk about
it. I got to ask you a question. Bishop, why are we so forgetful all the time? How are we forget so easy, Bishop? I got to ask you this personal question. How do we forget so much?
And we really do. And many of us were alive.
We have a 2-year-long collective memory.
Many of us were alive. Judge Brown and I both were alive during the Anita Hill. We were alive when he spoke against busing. We were alive when he talked against cutting Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and veterans' benefits. We were alive. We were adults. We were adults when he spoke some of his most vicious, vile plans and actions. We were alive, actually heard it. I was there. I listened to the Anita Hill. Well, really, it was Clarence Thomas' trial, or at least it was his hearing. But Anita Hill took the center stage because of the allegations that she made against him and how Biden openly fought with, and refused to allow evidence to prove that Anita Hill was correct. He was the chairman of the Judicial Committee at the time. He was the chief senator.
And she wasn't lying.
And so we forget things, but I think we do it purposely.
I talked to her in person, Bishop, and she was not lying. And she told me why she did it. She said Clarence Thomas was put in to destroy the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. He was a hatchet man, and he did his damnedest, and he had an intense hatred for his own people.
He still does. He still does.
That's what 20 his mama years, was a prostitute, and his daddy, his granddaddy adopted him. One of the ones that had some money. The rest of them stayed with mama and became prostitutes or jail occupants.
I just wish we stopped forgetting so easily, because it's actually embarrassing to forget. And you got, matter of fact, you ain't even got to forget. You can go look up the information yourself if you choose to. I'm like,
to drop out of one of the presidential campaigns because he was found guilty of plagiarism, in lying, in public. He had to drop out. And we forget about that. The man dropped out. He never won a primary election until 2020. And here's a man that ran three times. Never won a primary election. Never won until 2020. He was losing all of the primaries this year until the Democratic leadership got their heads together. Hillary and Obama and Perez and Schumer and Pelosi all got their heads together and schemed on this grand design to get rid of Bernie and promote Joe Biden. Their lapdog, knowing that he had dementia, at least some cognitive challenges, at least, but they knew that they could manipulate him. And let me tell you something. Biden's not going to be the president. The Democratic establishment is going to be the president, and he's going to be the figurehead that stands out in the public. He's not going to be the president. You already see Obama, even his own wife, talked on his behalf.
He's going to get dementia, Bishop, and he's going to withdraw in favor of his female lesbian type running mate so she can be the first female president.
I believe it. I would not be surprised at all.
That's what he's going to do.
Surprised at all, that's how it all ends up. I would not be surprised.
He wasn't too smart to begin with, and he definitely is impaired right now.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. His wife got to stand
outright
up and speak on his behalf.
Avowed racist.
Yes.
From the smallest state in the United States, which during the Civil War was a constant thorn in the side of the Union because of its Southern sympathizers.
Well, they had to guarantee them reparations. The slave owners of Delaware, Maryland, and Washington, D.C., they had to give them money in order for them to stay loyal to the Union.
Yep. That's where you were senator
that was 1863.
From. That's where you're getting your senator from.
That's right. There you go. There you go. The big champion.
You got a racist and your stupid black folk who don't read a damn thing think you are opposing somebody in office who's a racist. And the only thing you can come up with about his racism is what CNN said, that when I look at it and read it and I know the context, that's not racism. It's just talking smack, but it wasn't even racist smack. You're just making implications that he had a racist intent. You're more concerned that I grabbed the pussy. So what? He was talking lock and talk to somebody he didn't know was a queer boy who wanted to expose it. No, he lacks some finesse, but I like somebody that tells it like it is instead of always trying to figure out who he might be offended. Some people need to be offended.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
You know what you get with Trump? You know what you get with Trump? He's like a boy in a child closet. He's brass, who's just as rotten, if not more rotten, than anybody you could ever imagine, but they know how to finesse you. They wear their little bottom
He ain't trying to niceify you to get you to drop your drawers.
Yes.
He ain't talking nassifying you like you're trying to drop your drawers.
Come on now.
That's what he's talking about. Biden and the Democrats treat you like you are a gay boy and they're trying to finesse their way into your butts.
In all honesty, Bishop, you're a lot safer with Trump than you are with Biden. That's all I'm going to say. You're a lot safer. You know what you're going to get?
I believe it.
You know, and I can tell you the truth, all jokes aside, you obviously know Donald Trump don't care about pushing no policy for black people. As long as he's cutting deals, he's a deal maker. He's a businessman. If it's a best deal for him, that's what he's going to do.
I got to say something in his defense. Three former clients of mine or friends in the Memphis area who told me the same story independently. I remember back in the late 80s, they were trying to get financing for businesses, right? Businesses. And I've been on the bench 30 years ago, I was a judge, all right, on the bench. And I've talked to them recently, and you know where they got their finance for free? From Donald Trump. He cut them a check, said it was a long-term loan. They had the deal, a term loan. They had to sign the paperwork. He had some strange requirement. They tell me independently that they had to show up and present the check to him, and he tore the checks up. Say, congratulations. That's all I wanted for you to see if you were being a good businessman. And he gave them the money for free. And he's a racist. He used to like
until 2015, every black of every of all renowns, entertainers, politicians, black folk, love some Donald Trump. I've seen him on more black TV shows, including the French Prince of Bel-Air and some of the other ones. Donald Trump was a guest star. So the people acting all like, he's always been this and he's always been that. And all we folk, man, I tell you the truth. But then when the dominant group don't like him, all of us fall in line. So NASA don't like him because we can't like him either.
Well,
how about that?
Every show I know had Donald Trump on it. Everybody wanted to be seen hugging, grinning up to, bowing to Donald Trump, the best man in the world. I mean, I've seen it over the years. I don't know what we're talking about reading nothing. We've lived, anybody who's a boomer, baby boomer, from 1946 on up until 1964, we know, we've seen these things. See, some things you learn through a book. Some things you learn through example. Some things you learn through experience. And through experience, I've seen how this country has worked over the many years. And so I don't have to read a book for me. Now, I need to teach my children and my children's children some things. But for us who are really supporters of of Joe Biden and Obama, we love them to death. They can't do no wrong. In my own family, people yell at me and call me a Trump lover and this and that. How dare you? You ain't no good. Cuss me out. Because I point out the flaws in the Democratic Party, and I point out the things that I feel Trump has done right. Now, I'm not a big Trump supporter. I didn't vote for him either. I won't vote for him this time, most likely. and I didn't vote for him the last time. But I'm about to tell the truth. I've always prided myself in being fair and open-minded and even-handed and calling a spade, no pun intended.
Well, let me say something else, Bishop. A lot of people forget this. Donald Trump was one time a big Democratic donor at that. So that's even more hypocritical what a lot of people are saying. Let's not forget he was like a blue dog conservative Democrat.
Supported Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton. They were best friends. Hillary's daughter and Trump's daughter were best friends. Played together. Socialized that's together. Right. Went to parties together. They were like sisters. So people now all of a sudden, I mean, I hate him and da-da-da-da-da. And I, come on, people.
But listen, look, it won't even have something.
No. No.
The truth is he paid for all those Democrats. He bought them. And now they want to get mad because he's not for them anymore. And see, the difference
right.
is he was the kingmaker behind the throne. Now the kingmaker sitting on the throne and they don't like it. The other difference between
there
him and everybody but Barack Obama, he had his own money. The rest of them was some broke-ass trailer park trash who were trying to get rich.
But a lot of people think that Barack Obama didn't have no money. A lot of people always tell me Barack Obama grew up like us. I say he didn't grow up nothing like you. He's not even close. Barack Obama is not even a part of you. He is a fake, fraud, phony. You talk about he grew up on food stamps. Barack Obama ain't touched food stamps a day in his goddamn life. Lying dog.
That's that right.
And then the thing of it is your daddy is international executive vice president for Standard Oil before he became oil tycoon all on his own.
Hey, Bishop.
Yeah.
Can we
all go on food stamps?
Can we go to
Indonesia?
No.
Food stamps. Wait. I'll get it. He was on food stamps, Indonesian food stamps, which means you will bring your money here to boss man or you will die. You know? And he got
hey,
a stamp
Bishop.
Off that you paid him off.
Hey, Bishop, you feel like
exactly.
drinking some of that good water that he drunk in Flint that day? Drinking that good water?
We are so fucked. How many people you know, look at the man's history. I mean, this is so crazy that we have this. I don't know what's wrong with our psyche. But here's a man. Let's say he was born by a Kenyan daddy, an American white woman. Okay, that's how he came into the world. Okay, he went on, lived in Kansas, lived in Hawaii, lived in Indonesia, went to the best private schools money could buy, went to Harvard University. Where in the heck is that a black experience? Where is that the average black experience? Come on, people. I mean, come on. Was that your history? What's my history? What's my history? Born in Kansas, lived in Hawaii, lived in Indonesia, went to Harvard, went there, the best schools money could buy. That wasn't my history, let me tell you. And nobody in my family had a history like that. Nobody.
It's not even a large black population in Indonesia like that.
So let me tell you
like that.
Here's what I learned about black folk in Indonesia. You can see it if you go to an island culture like Tahiti. By tradition, every face on their money is female. And every bill is interesting because on one side, they've got a light-skinned Polynesian woman. And on the other side, they've got a dark-skinned Fiji woman. And they look like black folk. So from what I've heard, Obamatang passed himself off, or the family passed him off, as an adopted somebody of Fiji extraction. Now let's get back to his grandmama, through whom he is related to six other U.S. presidents, including the Bushes. See, his grandmama pimped his mama out to his real biological daddy, who the CIA was trying to convince not to go commie and to be friendly to America. So she pimped her daughter out and got him some white nookie. Daughter got knocked up, 1961. So she pimped daughter out a little bit more and turned Lolo Sotoro on to her and saying, hey, we need you. We got a scheme going on. That's what time this is. But you see, you get back a little further. His mama from Kansas, her great-grandfather was a Confederate officer that rode with Quantrell. Quantrell ran a guerrilla band, and somebody famous we all have heard from who rode with Quantrell in addition to Barack Obama's great-great-grandson was Jesse James, and also the younger boys of the James and Younger gang family doing all those bank robberies on the Wild West. Then the other great-great-grandfather on the mama's side in America was also a Confederate officer during the Civil War. So he's got great connections to this country as far as we are concerned. Background, racist. Behavior, racist. Daddy, killer. Wanted by The Hague for mass murder and crimes against humanity, which the U.S. blocked him getting snatched. Interesting. The damn shame. That's who we act like.
Very much so. He admitted to his own up is that his grandfather was a racist. The one who raised him, his granddaddy, was a racist. He admitted that in his own autobiography. If you read his book, he mentions about his grandfather being a racist, really a card-carrying KKK member, or certainly a sympathizer with the KKK philosophy.
Speaking of books, how about his most recent one, ghostwritten for him, where he claims to have considered becoming a homosexual?
I wouldn't be surprised.
How in the hell can you consider being gay?
I know.
Can you see a man? Hey, man, I don't want to say nothing, man. But why I've been drinking, man, I want to tell you, man, you look good to me, man, because I ain't going to lie, man. One time I decided I was going to be that way. So what would you say if some fool ran that by you?
I said, are you crazy? Are you? I was going to say the N word.
Well, that's what your president said. In his book, in writing now, in one of his books.
All right. I do not know if anybody cares about this next subject, but outside of that, I'm going to go around the room, get some final thoughts.
And Jemima?
At the last 20 minutes. No, wait, Judge, I want to pay this. Listen.
PepsiCo changing the name of its well-known Aunt Jemima brand. What can you tell us about that? So PepsiCo, the parent company of Quaker, which owns the brand Aunt Jemima, and the brand has been around for 130 years, has decided that this is based on a racial stereotype. Listening to calls to change that name over the last many years, and that name will change in the coming months. They say that they'll have new branding and new packaging before the end of this year. Amy?
Another big sign of the times. Rebecca, thank you so much.
Yeah, the only reason that, I inserted that with all
no,
the things
I like
that
the
we
topic.
Can talk about, we can
no,
talk
like
about
topic,
we want to change.
You know what?
An important topic.
You know what?
Valerie.
You know what?
Valerie. I think it's important.
Valerie, just a quick one. You can run with it. You know what? They're lying to you. Aunt Jemima resigned, and she's now working for Popeye's Fried Chicken on those commercials talking about she experiencing something. So Aunt Jemima just left the country. They had to change company. They had to change up.
Hey, throw this out there. I think a couple of years ago, some descendants of that Aunt Jemima came out and say that was their relative, and they got a good settlement. See, it was about 3 or 4 years ago. Y'all look it up. Her descendants came out and say that's her folk, and they got a nice little check for that.
I think
this is Bishop Scott. I want to make one point and one point only. Once again, we're dealing with symbolism again. No substance, symbolism. So while we're debating about Aunt Jemima, you know, they're pushing DACA. They're pushing, you know, we are the most asinine people in the world. I'll be honest with you. I really feel that way. We are so bogged down in what, you know, Confederate flag. Okay, that's fine. Take it down. For God's sake, take Lee down. Take Rizzo in Philadelphia down. Take everybody down. But while you're doing all that, then give me something. You're not giving me anything. You take Aunt Jemima down. It's the same debate, and Judge Brown remembers it. It's the same debate when they took Amos and Andy off TV. It's a stereotypical image of black folk.
Well, this right here is a little bit different. See, what they're doing with this is, and this is crazy, but they can't buy better publicity than this. This is really just called rebranding. Those products was going on their way out because people stopped buying them. People are being educated now about high fructose corn syrup and cardiovascular disease and all of those things. So a lot of people are moving away from buying those cheaper sugary products anyway. So what they're trying to do is take advantage of the moment. Most people, they taking advantage of this moment and creating a big fuss so that people can be on the lookout for this new product. That's all this really is rebranding. And they get ready to cash.
Well, the thing, but also, I saw a post of a gentleman that I know, Reese Hopkins, had a post or something, but one of his listeners had said, you know, well, can we talk about Aunt Jemima, or rather Nancy Green, which that is actually the person whose likeness is on the bottle or the boxes. And the person had stated that she was a freed slave who became one of the few black millionaires in the 1920s. And she says, why not put her story and her history on the back of the boxes of bottles so people can learn? She said, because basically we are taking away a person who could be that we can learn from, that a lot of folks didn't even know that it was a Nancy Green.
And I bet you next year they're going to have a June 19th sale at all stores. Next year, y'all, they're going to have Juneteenth sale. Watch and see next year.
And next year will be we'll take off Uncle Ben. We'll pull down Uncle Ben, too. We're going to pull him down because, you know, that old butler nigga that is on the box of Uncle Ben Rice. We're going to get rid of him. And we'll keep on doing that. And blacks will still be the poorest group in the country. We'll still have the least amount of jobs. We'll still be begging for bread. And yet Aunt Jemima won't be on the box anymore, so we can eat right. But she won't be on the box no more.
And the guy on the cream of wheat box is going, too.
And we're going to do all that.
Yeah.
The dust clears. Then
cream
what?
Of wheat.
Then what?
He took all the the guy on the cream of wheat box.
By the way, has anybody actually seen an Aunt Jemima pancake box over the last 5 to 10 years?
Nope.
You know who they had on the Aunt Jemima pancake box?
Oprah Winfrey.
No, Oprah looked too much like the original Aunt Jemima. They had a fox looking like Beyonce up on Aunt Jemima's box. She looked good to look at. I stopped looking. Damn, that's a fine lady. She didn't look like Oprah and Aunt Jemima. But, see, they were trying to be progressive. And then the LGBT crowd and the lesbian feminists got mad, saying that was sexist and that was promoting that as an image of objectified beauty. So they took it off. Crazy. See, this is all just sham.
Let's not forget one thing. I'm not gonna say nothing about that. I'm gonna say, everybody just keep your heads up, be brave, stop falling for symbolism, because symbolism never is substance unless you get something. So anytime you see anybody tell you something negative about any politician, whether it be Trump, etc. You can go back and ask Nancy Pelosi in the Congressional Black Caucus or the Congressional Black Caucus, better yet. Why would you let Nancy Pelosi and them make a fool out of people wearing this kente cloth and nobody checked them for that disgrace they were doing? Also, people wake up and realize that throughout the last 20 days of this BLM or Black Lesbians or Black Lives Matter, etc., no coincidence that DACA laws and sanctuary city laws and gay rights laws are passed under this umbrella. Don't forget, it's Pride Month. We got 13 more, no, 11 more days of Pride Month, and I hope it happens. Never forget, June 17, 2015 was the anniversary of Dylann Roof going into black church in Charleston, South Carolina. And also never forget, 8 days later, Barack Obama came and sang Amazing Grace and passed the Gay Marriage Act while Michelle Obama was sitting at the White House passed with the LGBT lighting up the White House. So never forget, you got important dates. Don't get too caught on the symbolism. Ask for the substance and tell them, okay, you've been passing all these laws for gays, pedophiles, and everything else. You need to pass laws for black people and stop throwing us through the ringer to get us to support everybody else. It's a damn shame that we look at ourselves that low where we would let people overstep us and not have no repercussions behind that. No other group of people will let you do that. That's all I got to say.
Thank you. Anybody else?
This is Bishop Scott. I just want to say that I'm through. I agree entirely with Brother Johnson. I really do in this matter. I agree with Judge Brown in this matter. We have to stop falling for the okey-doke, for the gestures, for the empty promises. Wait until next time. Your time's coming, but wait until next time. We have to stop all of this and demand substance. We have to also begin to have programs that deal with strategy. Rhetoric is fine. We've talked. We've brought up everything under the God's heaven other than the creation story. But we need to now talk about strategy. What do we do? We relied on the dominant race, our own strategy, to map out our destiny, to dictate when we get what we get, how long it's going to take until we get it, which is never. When are we going to take the bull by the horn and say, I'm going to be the captain of my ship. I'm going to be the author of my destiny. I'm not going to wait for anybody to lead me into where I need to go. I know where I want my people to go. I know what I want for my life. I don't need nobody to come and tell me what I need and when I'll get it and if I'll get it and lie to me about getting it because you never intended for me to get it. I was bottom of the barrel in 1619, and I'm the bottom of the barrel in 2020. Come on, folks. When are we going to stop believing the lies, the hypocrisies, the double standards that are always, and we always fall for it because we hope next time things will get better?
They're trying to put things in place right now that will prevent black people from exercising the political power they will have in about 25 years when America is no longer a majority white country, when whites will become a minority. That is good for them. It's not good for us. And I don't think all white people are in on it. It's just so that they will lock things into place where the LGBTQ Skittles crowd will have undue influence in America. Next thing, I can understand Brother Bernard and Bishop, the call for legislation to protect blacks. What I am most resentful for is the laws that are already on the books that are not being enforced for the benefit of black people have now been hijacked for the benefit of some perverts. And that is not a good thing. That is a problem. Well, let me not say perverts, because under the thing to diminish the effect of the First Amendment, somebody may feel uncomfortable, and even though it may be the truth, we can't use that. We have to say something. Those of a different persuasion are attempting to hijack the laws that were intended to protect black people, women, persons who have religious beliefs that are trampled upon, people for whatever color or point of national origin who are citizens. Those things are being hijacked to deal with special needs people who have the slogan LGBTQ and Q stands in their own language for queer. By the way, that's the first thing in the mantra that BLM has, is queer. And I just read something flashed on my phone saying this becomes the historical month of Black Lives Matter. And they are attributing this organization in this article as the newly governed, newly developed entity that speaks for all Black people. That's the way they're putting it. Now, what was the other thing you wanted to know about?
All right, guys, that's it. You can find the full episode on Patreon, Patreon at Valerie Denise Jones. Also, add us to your family on Instagram, Instagram at Valerie Denise, and also Miss MS Valerie Denise. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider supporting us. Again, Patreon, Cash App, PayPal. All the dates are down in the description. Outside of that, I will see you guys down in the comment section. I want to hear your thoughts. I love you to life. Talk soon. Bye.
Did you enjoy this audio? We sure hope you did. Today's show is sponsored by My Olive Leaf. Please visit myoliveleaf.biz to shop for olive leaf extracts, which will assist your efforts to transform your life. Detox your body, increase your energy, get restful sleep, and rid your body of antiviral, antibacterial, and antifungal properties. Do not delay. Contact the MOL reps today. Please visit myoliveleaf.biz for their full line of olive leaf extracts and moringa products. Oh yeah, for those of you who would like a personal consultation, please call the MOL reps at 612-567-3263. Also visit their website and social media pages for the latest on sales, new releases, and more.
Hey, I'm sorry to interrupt your program, but I really have to let you guys know something. One of the problems that we have in the holistic community is that there are too many people uncertified that don't really know exactly what it is that they're doing. In fact, we can take that to the fitness community as well. I'm a certified personal trainer. I'm a certified sports nutritionist. I'm a certified master herbalist. I am a certified elite calisthenics specialist, and I'm also a naturopathic doctor. My name, for those of you that don't know, is Dr. Inky. And when you come to our website, unitedplatesofamerica.org, yes, unitedplatesofamerica.org, like the plates you eat on, or the plates you put on your bench press bar, or the plates that the soil where the herbs and the food grow from, the tectonic plates, those kind of plates, unitedplatesofamerica.org. When you come to the website, not only do we have certification for you in calisthenics, we offer that through the Calisthenic King of all calisthenic kings, none other than HIIT. We got HIIT, okay? So we're offering that to you guys. We have books for education. We have everything that you guys really need to not only transform your life in terms of your health, but to transform your life in terms of your karma, in terms of your creativity, and in terms of your entrepreneurship, your business, and your fiscal well-being.